On today's podcast, we're going to wrap up several things that have been happening around the globe and show you one way your donations are making life just a little bit better for people in need.
This is The Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, Chuck Holton here. Thanks for watching The Hot Zone. Well, things have been happening all around the world that really don't merit making an entire podcast about, but I wanted to cover some of them today, and I wanted to show you something really special that we're doing with some of the money that you've given to help needy people right here in Panama. Now, first update on the trio that we were talking about that was lost in the Australian outback, we were reporting on the other day. Two of the three had been found, and we were praying that the third woman, her name was Claire Hockridge, was 49 years old, would be found. Unfortunately, her body was discovered Wednesday. Here's what the authorities and her sister had to say about it.
We have located the body of a woman today around 38 kilometres south-southeast of Stuart Well, or about 8.5 kilometres from the east of the Stuart Highway. We believe that the person is Claire Hockridge. We have not been able to get a formal identity at this stage.
We are all grieving and exhausted from the emotional roller coaster that we've ridden over the past 1.5 weeks. Even though Claire's died in terrible circumstances, we are glad that Tamara and Fu have been found alive and well. And we're extremely grateful to everyone who was involved in that.
At least 23 people died in a massive explosion at a tile factory in the capital of Khartoum in Sudan Tuesday. The blaze also injured over 100 people, many of them very badly. And so a whole lot of people said it sounded like an earthquake had gone off or something like that as it exploded. Anyway, it destroyed the whole factory and the equipment. And the government's ordering an investigation, but I can tell you what they're going to find. They're going to find out Sudan is a third world country. Safety regulations are basically non-existent there. They've had several other accidents this year, one of which almost burned down the presidential palace in Khartoum. Also on Wednesday in Afghanistan, a gunman opened fire on the car of a Japanese doctor and aid worker in Jalalabad. You'll remember that I spent a couple days in Jalalabad on my recent trip to Afghanistan, and this just goes to show what I always say, this is without a doubt one of the most dangerous places on earth. And the doctor belonged to the Japanese charity called Peace Medical Service and had been working in Afghanistan for some time and helping the Afghan people out. But of course, the Taliban and the Islamic State in Afghanistan would rather they continue to kill each other. So they keep killing aid workers, apparently because they want a country that is living in the Stone Age. So just a couple weeks ago, there was an attack by the United Nations that killed one American and wounded five Afghans there in Kabul. So with all the mayhem that's going on in the world, wouldn't it be nice to end this podcast on a positive note today? So I want to introduce you to a sweet lady I met named Elena, who has an amazing story, and I want to let her tell it to you. So watch this.
My name is Elena Moore. So tomorrow I am putting together dignity packages that I'm taking down to a local jail where there are over 70 women who are incarcerated. So my idea was, you know, since this month is about Mother's Day and Christmas, you know, anybody that's in jail is a human being just like us. And they deserve to have everything that is necessary to be a woman and live comfortably. So my idea was to put together some dignity packages, bring them to them so that they feel important, so that they don't feel alone. Conditions in the prisons here in Panama are so different because when you walk into a jail for your first time as an incarcerated person, you are not given anything. And I mean soap for your body, toilet paper, hygiene products, shampoo, conditioner, sheets, clothing, you're given nothing. So you have to figure out very quickly how to survive. And if you have no money and you have no family and you have no means to help yourself, then you better hope that the people that are incarcerated with you are good enough to help. And so what I would love to do is to create more of a bigger program where when girls come in, they have everything that they need. And the day that they walk out, they also have everything that they need. But for now, my beginning and my start is so that they feel that they are needed and wanted and loved by somebody that maybe doesn't even know them, but that doesn't really matter. Ugly, dirty, stinky. There are, you know, 22 women to one cell that is very small, let's say 20 by 11, 30 by 11. And there's one bathroom that you are, one toilet, no shower inside your cell. Stinky and dirty. There are no real windows. There are just like Panamanian kind of slots in the cement wall. And one fan for the entire cell. And so dirty, there's a lot of lice that goes around. There's no real water program, so the water is horrible. The food sometimes comes with worms in it. It's hot. It's so hot. And, you know, if you're a woman, you know that every month you have a situation that you have to deal with for at least a week. And a lot of these women don't even have that. And so it can get messy. You know, a lot of women, too, have never been taught how to live properly. And so sometimes there are feces on the ground, urine, blood, and you're treated like an animal. And you live like an animal. Right now, everybody is in a bunk bed. So how you choose who is in a bunk bed is usually for who's been there the longest and your age and your health situation. But when I say, you know, bunk beds, I'm not talking about bunk beds that are, you know, far apart and you have air to breathe. Bunk beds that are side by side. And so you are completely suffocated with people under you and above you. There is a car that comes three times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Breakfast is usually, you know, bread and coffee. Lunch is very small, a small portion of rice, a tiny piece of meat, and that's usually it. And dinner is the same. And sometimes it's just rice with some vegetables in it. Sometimes the food comes rotten. Sometimes the food comes with mold on it. And sometimes it doesn't. When I first heard about the prison, I knew that there was no cooking program. So the girls were getting their food and they had to eat when the food came. They weren't allowed to bring food into their room and that was it. So Saturdays and Sundays, you know, it's lockdown. So a lot of these girls weren't eating properly and going hungry. Then there was a huge riot because that was the only way for these girls to actually fight for their rights. And they gave them the benefit of being able to start cooking three times a week. However, the girls had to provide their own cooking utensils, so like a sartén, so they can cook. And so they had to send to buy them with their own money. And then there was, you know, more of a push. And now the girls are able to cook Monday through Saturday. There's a certain time slot. And that's not to say that everybody is cooking. That depends on your financial stability and your situation within the prison. You know, you could be set up to have another case thrown against you, risks against other women because there are weapons, there are switchblades, there are gilets, you know, and people are fighters and there are wood objects. So even a broom, you can make anything into a weapon. So you have to be very careful of that. And then just, you know, your surroundings, getting sick and not being able to be hospitalized. And people have died from that.
There is medical care, I'm sure.
There's no medical care on site. There is someone now who is a nurse, but he's only there during the day, 7 days on, and then 7 days off. Now on the 7 days off, there is a woman who is not a nurse. She is a guard, but they have put her in nursing so that if somebody gets sick, you know, there's a huge protocol to even be hospitalized. Sexual violence can happen. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. You can be victimized and you can be pointed out and people will take advantage of you sexually. And, you know, there are a lot of women that go in and they're married and they have children and, you know, because of necessity, they have to have a sexual relationship with a woman. And so I believe that maybe they consent to do it. So it is a consensual relationship, But the base of it is necessity. And so there is a little bit of sexual abuse that comes with that. And not only sexual abuse, physical abuse. I have heard so many stories of women that are in relationships, but you're never happy because you're doing it for necessity. And there's fighting that goes on, and severe fighting. I have an organization that I'm just starting to get off the ground called the Hourglass Movement. You know, Hourglass defines that there is a short amount of time, right? So less than a minute. And for me, in any situation you are able to change, and in any situation other people are able to make a change. Get on Facebook, in touch with me, and, you know, I love to hear ideas, and I love to hear anybody that wants to get involved. Because, you know, in the bottom of my heart, there are really good people that are incarcerated. Because, you know, there are two types of people, people with criminal minds and people that make criminal decisions. 98% of women, females that are incarcerated, have just made criminal decisions out of necessity. There is no reason to judge. There is reason to help so that they have everything that they need. Christmas for these women is very dark, a very sad time away from family where they feel forgotten about and they feel guilty when they have children. And, you know, they aren't given special privilege at all. It's a time where we should be reflecting and giving and sharing and loving. And unfortunately, for them, it's just a time of protecting themselves and surviving.
So Alana has such a heart for the women that are incarcerated here in Panama. And you all have been sending cash, and I didn't travel last week. And so we're going to help Alana with what she's doing, putting together these dignity kits to help the women in the women's carcel down here in Penonomé. So, Alana, specifically, I want to point out and say thank you to our some of our good friends in West Virginia who have sent this. So, Melinda, you know who you are. This is $100. And what can we do with $100 for these women? What will that provide?
Well, this will provide us the ability to get them their basic necessity needs as women. So mm-hmm.
So these dignity kits are toothpaste, feminine products, toilet paper, makeup, stuff like that.
Shampoo, conditioner, mm-hmm. Deodorant, hair gel, mm-hmm. Books, candies, and anything else that is really important for these girls to be able to just live their day-to-day lives and feel good about it.
So be praying for Alana and be praying for her ministry, her organization down here, because there's so much need everywhere you look. And I think you can find it where you live, too. So be looking around this Christmas. All right. That's it for today's Hot Zone. Thanks for being on the podcast with us. We'll be back again next week. Take care.
Thank you.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.